The Word of God is like a puzzle. If I handed somebody a Bible and said, here, I want you to read this, and I want you to understand every bit of it, but you don't have a picture to go by, just put it all together. Make it, just totally get it. It would be impossible. You're going to need a guide. You're going to need a picture to look at. You're going to need a guide to help you do this. There is no way. Because for one thing, it's like nothing you've ever seen. It's like nothing you've ever looked at before. It's like no understanding you've ever had before, because it's not from this world. Now, if you had a puzzle that was a tree or a hill or a barn, you might be able to figure out, well, that looks like a barn shed, or that looks like a tree limb. And you might be able to figure out, and there's the sky, and you might be able to figure it out. But I'm telling you, the Word of God is not of this world. The Word of God is not from natural things. It came out of heaven. See, the Word came out of heaven. The revelations you're going to get from here on out are going to come out of heaven. You can recognize them because you have some heaven living in you called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came out of heaven. Jesus told the disciples, when he told them he was getting ready to go away, he said, it's very important, very expedient that I leave and I go away. What? What? I'm sure they were like panic stricken. What, Jesus, you're leaving us? How could you bring us out here and leave us? We've got all of Judea following us. We've got thousands of people thronging us. We fed the 10,000 or 5,000, which probably was over 10,000. We fed all these people over here. Everybody got healed in all the villages. You're famous. And they associate us with you. They see us. They see you. You sent us out. You sent us out two by two. You sent 70 of us out. And you gave us power to heal all that had sickness and cast out all the devils. How could you leave us? What are we going to do without you? How are we going to get anything accomplished without you? You're the Lord. You're God. You're the God-man with us. Please, Jesus, don't leave us. I'm sure they were in a panic, because now they've got all of Israel, all of Judea. In fact, his fame went abroad through even other countries. 3.5 years did a lot. He did a lot of things. In fact, John said if the books we'd written that of all the things he did, the whole world couldn't hold the volumes of the books. In fact, the scripture says he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He said, anyone that comes to me, I'll in no wise cast out. I'm sure a lot of people came to Jesus. So now he's getting them together. He's got them together and he's saying, look, I'm leaving. I'm out of here. How would you feel? You're on the verge of you're on a campaign. You're on a ministry campaign like you have never seen the likes of. You're standing before thousands and thousands of people are traveling miles and miles, bringing their sick for miles to talk to Jesus and to see and to be healed and be touched. Remember the guy that there were so many people in the house, they had to climb to the rooftop and let him down? I'm telling you, it was at this point, I believe, in his ministry that he announces, I'm leaving. And they would have never in a million years dreamed what was going to happen the next few days when they saw him dragged through the streets of Jerusalem, beaten and battered. After all they had seen, walking on the water, speaking to the winds, it had to have shifted their mentality. It had to upended their theology. It had to just totally change everything. It just changed everything. They were so used to Jesus. Lord, we got to pay our taxes. They're here to collect taxes. Where do we get the money? Just go down there to this point of the water and throw in a line. And the first fish you catch, the money will be there. No one ever walked around sick around Jesus. No one ever went without anything around Jesus. There's all these people, Lord, what are we going to do with them? Well, what do you got? He always took whatever you had and multiplied it. He was able to take any situation and make it wonderful. But now he's leaving. He's leaving the scene. He's completely out of here. I just can't imagine how I would feel if I was one of the disciples. How would I feel? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to live? We gave up our fishing boats. They've already hired new guys in our place. We don't have a business any longer. We gave it up for you. And now you're leaving us? And not only that, but the whole country turned against them. Look, you think God was your father. Let him save you. He's hanging on a cross. This miracle worker, let him get himself off the cross if he's a miracle worker. You see, it totally changed the whole dynamics of everything that they had invested in, their belief system invested in Jesus and what he was all about. But he had brought her to this point for a reason and for a purpose. And you and I look around each other, we're the reason. We're the purpose. We're the reason for all that he did. And not just in this church, but all the churches. Drive down the streets. There's people going to church today all over the world. All over the world. Because of what that man did named Jesus. What he began in the streets of Galilee, on those dusty roads, and the ministry he began 2,000 years ago, you can't stop it. It's unstoppable. And he's getting ready to pour out his spirit upon all flesh like we've never seen before. I believe that. I know that in my heart. But he's got to get us to a place where we aren't like the disciples. What are we going to do? What did he say to the disciples when they ever had a need? You feed them. You feed them. You cast out the devils. Me? Well, let me go back to this puzzle. I started to talk about a puzzle. You see, very complex, and it's very perplexing. When you know there's an assignment in front of you, and you know that you've got a purpose, and you know that you've got a calling, but you don't see it. You don't understand it. You can't picture it in your mind. And you can't understand like the disciples. They just couldn't get it. But I promise you, they did get it before they left this world. They did get the picture of their assignment, their purpose. They finally got it. Peter wrote, he's the chief cornerstone. The word is so beautiful and so wonderful. And as you begin to read your Bible, as you begin to read the Bible, becomes clearer and clearer to you where this fits, where that fits. Oh, this is where that goes. This is what that means. Oh, this is where this belongs. Okay, I got it. This goes over here. Oh, I'm starting to see it now. I'm starting to understand this awesome salvation plan. I'm beginning to understand God, where I fit in it. There's where I fit. There's my gift. I see it. I see it in the Word. You can recognize who you are. You begin to see yourself as a reflection of what you're painting, of your puzzle. And it's not your puzzle, it's his, but he invited you to come into his world. Being a believer is the most awesome privileged thing in all of the universe. Jesus began a good work in you, in me, and he is the author and finisher of your faith. He began this work. You just trust him to complete you. You trust him to show you the missing pieces. You trust him to show you where this belongs in your life and what needs to fit here and what needs you need. No, that doesn't fit there. Sometimes we try to make a piece fit that doesn't even fit. Have you ever done that in a puzzle? Surely that's got to go there. It doesn't go anywhere else. No, you need to get that out. The disciples, he told them, he gave them this. He said, when a woman is ready to give birth, she's in great mourning and agony and grief. But as soon as she's delivered of the man-child, she's rejoiced. The man-child's been born in the world. He said, you're going to grieve and you're going to be sad. But when you wake up and you see the picture and you see what I wrought in this great salvation, when you see me raised from the dead, and they didn't understand that, but when you see this, you're going to be so happy, you're going to be so glad, you're going to forget all about the sorrow, and you're going to forget all about the sadness, because you're going to be so happy you got a new baby in this world. You brought forth a baby, a child. the point I'm making is that the disciples, they didn't know what was coming, but it became apparent. It became clear to them. And the scriptures I had on my heart this morning, we look at our page here. I could just take scripture after scripture after scripture and put them on a page. But what the Holy Spirit can do in a moment, you couldn't do in 10 years. What the Holy Spirit can do inside of you in a flash, in just a moment in time, He can bring you a revelation of the picture that He wants you to see. I sought God and I seek God, and as I read my Bible and I've read my Bible, it's amazing how the Holy Spirit can say, there's where that peace goes. That's what you're missing. That's what you need to get. You need to see this before you can put anything else together. And so let's get into the scriptures this morning, and I want to just bring them to you. Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, and Habakkuk 2:4. We ought to know by now what that says. Listen, if we don't, let's just find it in the Bible. Let's look it up for a minute. Let's Romans chapter 1. And basically, they all say the same thing. All these scriptures right here all say the same thing. Romans 1:17. So Romans 1:17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. I want you to see the picture of it. I want you to see yourself in this. I want you to see yourself. I see myself here. I see myself as the righteous of God. I'm the righteousness of God. We've seen that picture, haven't we? He became sin that you could be made the righteousness of God. That's a picture of the puzzle. So here's a very important piece of your life right here. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. It says that in Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, and Habakkuk 2:4. You know, we aren't going to go there, but just trust me, it says that. The just shall live by faith. Now, Jesus made a statement, which is a statement that will help you in your studies and you're searching out for truth. And he said this, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. That's a law that governs interpretation of scripture. Did you all know that? That's a law of interpretation. That'll help you in putting your puzzle together. That'll help you in putting it all in place. What plans and purposes of God in your life. And you know the wonderful thing about God, He's no respecter of persons. In fact, I did a real in-depth study early in my walk with God because I was so inadequate and I felt like such a failure and I felt like such a lost cause. I'm telling you, God took a mess when He changed my life. And He began little by little by little changing the way I thought. He had to change the way I think. Had to get the right picture. I had to get the right image of what He made me become in this new birth. The new birth is a powerful thing to understand. And so I had to get a revelation from heaven, something that had to come down out of heaven. And let me tell you, this Bible is out of heaven. This is not a man-made Bible. This is not a man-made work. This is God's Word. And God is equal to His Word. And you can read it. And read it from a natural mind, and you'll never understand it. It makes no sense at all. But when the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to you that this is where that belongs, and this is what this means, and this is where you fit, this is what applies to you, and then you embrace it as a truth, your own personal truth. I'm the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. I had to look in the mirror a few times and say, I don't look it, I don't feel it, but I don't let my body tell me who I am. I don't let my mirror tell me who I am. I let this mirror tell me who I am. I let this word tell me who I am. I don't let my mirror on my kitchen or bathroom wall or any mirror tell me who I am. I don't even let my actions tell me who I am. I can't trust me. But I can trust God. I can trust this word to be true. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And this word is 100% true. Now, where does this living by faith begin? Where does living by faith step in to your world? If the just live by faith, that means the justified, the ones that have been experienced of salvation, the ones who have been just made just as though they'd never sinned. That's what the word just means. Justified, just, I am just. I didn't feel just. I was just an old dirty sinner, as far as I knew. How many times have I been beat over the head with that? You're just an old dirty sinner. Well, I could sort of receive that. I believe that for sure. But how do you believe that you're righteous? How do you turn that thought around? That you've worked because God's word said it. How do you receive it? You receive it by faith. Not because you feel like it. This is where we have to stop feeling like we're anything. We have to believe it. The just live by this thing called faith. You've got to believe the word from your heart. And you've got to look at the word and you've got to say, that's the truth. Whether I feel like it, whether it looks like it, whether anybody else agrees with it, it's the word. It's the word. Period. I drew a line in the sand many, many years ago. If my mama don't believe it, I'm going to believe it. My daddy don't believe it, I'm going to believe it. My kids don't believe it, I'm going to believe it because this is the word of God. I'm making a stand and I stood before God. I said, I'm going to believe your word. I'm going to believe your word because it's the truth. I believe it's the truth. I believe it is the truth and the foundation of the universe. He says the worlds were framed by the word of God. If the worlds were framed by the word of God, he certainly can frame my little world. And my children are going to come into the kingdom. My family's going to be saved. You know why I know that? Because the word says it. There's word to cover any situation in your life if you'll believe it. Because you've got to learn how to live by faith. This is where we're missing so many opportunities to manifest God. We're missing so many opportunities to manifest the word of God because we want to doubt and put trust in our emotions, trust in other people's ideas and thoughts and thinking, trust in somebody else's theology and not trust what God has said. It's as simple as this. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Don't add anything to that. He said they're going to be delivered. Amen. I believe that. And you know what? My faith puts pressure on the things of life. My faith puts pressure on those kids. My faith puts pressure on the kingdom. My faith puts pressure on the word. He said he exalts his word even above his name. The angels hearken to the voice of his word. Who puts a voice to his word? I do. You're either putting a voice to the devil's word or your own words or God's words. And you will believe your words more than anybody else's words. That's just the way it is. By your words, you'll be justified. By your words, you'll be condemned. See, the pictures of the salvation plan is becoming clearer and clearer and clearer, isn't it? Isn't it? And you get up every day and now you've got a spring in your step. You got a joy in your heart. You got a purpose in your life because you can see the things that others around you can't see. You have a faith in a living God who you cannot touch, feel, or taste, or sense with a smell. Five physical senses do not touch that world, but you touch it with your faith. You live it with your faith. The faith, the sixth sense within your spirit man has access to everything God says you have access to. And you make a reality come into place in this physical world because you believe it in your heart. You confess it with your mouth and you don't doubt what you believe. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What do you need to be saved from? I needed to be saved from a broken refrigerator. I looked at that thing. Well, it's on it. No more refrigerator. But I believed in my heart. And I said with my mouth. And I put pressure on the word. And I put pressure on God. You said anything I asked the Father in your name, I would get it. But I have to believe it. I had to believe that. But see, I've been looking at this picture a long time. And you develop your faith. You grow your faith. You grow it just like you grow a garden. You start, it's wonderful when you start seeing the little sprouts come up in that garden. You've hoed it. You've taken care of it. You've watered it. You've worked it. You've tilled the ground. You've pulled out the weeds. You bend over and you get a sore back and you've worked that ground, haven't you? You've been sowing it and then you've been taking care of that patch. Before you ever see, you know it's coming. Your faith is coming. Your faith will do major things. Your faith will change your world totally around. It'll get your family saved. It'll get your bills paid. My God supplies all my need according to riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know why I don't beg and plead for money? Because I don't want your money. I want your spirit, man, to grow. I'm sowing into you. I'm sowing the word into you. You're the garden of God. And the garden of God is going to flourish. The garden of God is going to grow. And you're going to be productive people like you've never been before. And you're going to want to give to the kingdom of God because you see the benefit of it. You see the glory of giving to God and the putting investments in His Word in your time and your prayer life and your word life and your study time. You're making an investment in something called your heart. He said, because you live, you shall live. Because I live, you shall live also, he said to me one time. And you know, he said these words to me. He said, except you believe, you will not be established. He told me that. He said, except you believe, you will not be established. You can't be established if you don't believe His Word. And you certainly can't manifest His Word if you don't believe it. We have to believe it. We have to believe it. The just live by faith. By faith. Let me go on down here. Look what he says in Hebrews 11:6. I wrote this out. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Talking about God. Talking about Jesus, your high priest. It's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God. Do you see that word must? We just think, well, we can get by with that. You know, we could, this little word must. Well, maybe we can just get away with it. No, you can't get away with this. You must believe God. You must believe. You've got to believe. You must believe. You must only believe with all of your heart. You must believe in Jesus. You must believe. You must believe with all of your heart. You must believe. It's your life on the line here. You see, Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit, let me put it this way. God the Father and God the Son has done everything that they can possibly do to make your life a wonderful life. He's done everything He can do to win your family, to save your soul. God has done His part in this great plan of salvation. Here's the puzzle pieces put together a little bit more. Son to die. You see, Jesus did not have to die for Himself. He had a happy life going on in heaven. He didn't have to die. He didn't have to come a mere man and strip Himself of His power. He didn't have to submit Himself to that kind of suffering. He didn't have to do it. In fact, if He hadn't have become a man, He couldn't even have died. Because you cannot kill God. He had to become a man so He could die. Do you all realize that? You couldn't have killed God on that cross. He had to become a man. He had to take on the curse for the human races. He did it on our behalf. Because you and I couldn't have done this. It took God to become a man to do this. And He made the way for you and I to walk in 100% victory in everything. And he gave up everything so we could have what He gave us. He became sin that you could be made righteous. He became sick that you could be healed. He became depressed so you could be an overcomer from depression. He bore your grief. He carried your, read Isaiah 53. It tells you what He did. He took your place. He was your complete 100% substitute. Now you tell me, what more can you go before God on a given day and say, I think you need to add more to this? No, He's waiting on you and I to step up and say, I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to receive it, and I'm going to act like it's true. I'm going to live by something called faith. Because I have to. You're going to manifest the Word of God, you've got to do it by faith. You can't talk God into it. You can't cry enough to get Him to do it for you. He is not going to come down and add one more thing to this Word. He's already done it. He's done it all. Really? I wouldn't want him to come back down here and suffer again on that cross. Would you? So let's not let that be for nothing. Let's not be those stripes he bore, those 39 stripes with that cat of nine tails that those brutal, strong soldiers put on his back. Don't let this be for nothing. It was for your healing. It was for your deliverance. It was for your health, your well-being. Everything he did for us. Okay, it's done. It's a done thing. It's a wonderful station. He is called the captain of your salvation. He's called the author and the finisher of your faith. He's author of your faith. He's the finisher of your faith. He is the bright and morning star. He is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He is the lily of the valley. He is God in the flesh. And you know the wonderful thing about it? He told the disciples before he went to heaven, he says, touch me for a spirit. Touch me, touch me, touch me. A spirit that hurt the holes in a spirit doesn't have something you can touch. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bone as you see me have. Jesus left this planet in a flesh and bone body. He's established this new covenant in his own blood. And he's the high priest seated at the right hand of the Father to make sure that everything a believer believes comes to pass. Everything you can believe for, whatever you can believe for, is going to happen. Because he ratified it in his own blood. It's ratified. It's established. If you don't believe, you won't be established in this. You have to believe everything. You have to believe it. And as you read the word and you decide, I'm going to believe that. Anybody ever taken baby steps? No. In doing anything, for that matter? Get a new job. It seemed like every job I ever had, I was thrown into it. Just do it. Didn't know what I was doing. Didn't know what I'm supposed to do, but I just did my best to do it. Trial by fire kind of thing. Well, sometimes that's the best way to learn. Just believe the word. Believe it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When you decide, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to get the picture of what his plan is for my life. I want to know what he has for me. He is the author of my faith. This is personal. This is so personal. I started to say a minute ago something I want to back up. There was a real in-depth study I did one day because I was such a mess. And I read the word and it said, God is no respecter of persons. See, I used to think this. This is my image, wrong image, wrong picture in the puzzle here. I used to think that if you were really, really Miss Goody Two-Shoes, and I wasn't, but if I was, if I could clean up my act and I could be Miss Goody Two-Shoes, that somehow I was going to get some kind of favors from God, that he might think a little better of me, that he might do a little more for me, help me out a little bit. And I used to think, okay, if I really work hard at being good, and that was hard to work hard at being good, because you know, when you got a potty mouth and you get used to saying things and doing things, this is, you know, cleaning it up is hard. Smoking 3 packs of cigarettes a day, smoking weed every day, it's a little hard to change all of that overnight. You can't. There's no way you can change yourself overnight. There's no way. It takes God to do it. And I had to learn how to let him fix me. The brokenness in me. So when I found that scripture, that's no respecter of persons, it just kind of jumped out at me, and the Lord was saying, I love you as much as I love Peter. I loved you. I love you right now just as much as I love John, James, Paul, and my pastor, who God to me. I just look at my pastor like, oh my goodness, this person, I'm scared of him, really. He knows everything I'm thinking. Ever meet a pastor like that? And you should respect your pastor, but you know, I just didn't know very much at all. But I just couldn't imagine God being no respecter of persons. Surely he is going to respect them over me. Surely he's going to think more of them and answer their prayers more than he'll answer my prayers. Maybe if I get strong enough and good enough and I work hard enough, maybe one day I'll get my prayers answered just like they get their prayers answered. And I got to studying that. The Lord said, no, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. The Holy Spirit living in me, he checked me. You know, the word says that if you be any other wise-minded, he will reveal even this unto you. Do you know that? Have you read that? If you've been otherwise minded, if you got the wrong picture, the wrong image in the puzzle, he'll fix you. He'll help you if you listen. You got to be teachable, though. You got to be willing to learn. And so I started researching that. I said, okay, I had a big old concordance. I started searching out. No respecter of persons. I found it over 30 times in the New Testament where the Lord, the Word of God, through Peter, Paul, John, I don't know who all, definitely more than one witness. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Remember what Jesus said about establishing his word in your heart? If God said it through Paul, he said it through Peter, he said it through Mark, Matthew, Luke, or John, or whoever he says something through, those are more than one witness. And it's a truth that establishes it. Let every word be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So that right there will take care of a lot of stuff that's pulled out and made to say something it shouldn't say. If you'll hear it correctly, God will establish it in your heart as a truth. Okay, so I got the point I'm making here is this. I began to see myself in a different light. That he loves me unconditionally. He loves me no matter what I do in the day. He, in my worst day, doesn't shake him off his throne. In my worst day, it doesn't make him hate me. In my worst experiences in life, it doesn't make him not want to help me. He never gives up on us. He never throws us out. He never throws the baby out with the bathwater. I want to throw my kids out sometimes. But God's never like that. He's so patient. And he, you know, and whoever had a baby and the baby dirtied his diaper, that you didn't want to clean the baby up as fast as possible and put a fresh diety on it and love it. You don't throw your baby out with a dirty diaper. You clean that baby up. And God said, I'm no respecter of persons. I love you, the baby you, the mess you are, as much as I love that grown-up believer who's walking in all the things I've told him to walk in. I love you just as much. There's no respecter of persons with God. He comes to us on our level. He comes to us and deals with us where we live, where we are right now, and what our picture is. He sees how skewed it can be. He sees how skewed our minds are, how stinking our thinking is. He sees that we're not perfect. He sees that. He knows where every single one of us are in our development, our growth in this thing called faith. Because it is a demand on our hearts and our lives to live by this thing called faith. So if that's a truth, and it is, then it behooves us to find out how do we get there till we live 100% by faith. How do we live 100% by faith? I don't think he meant 80-20. It's not like ground beef, you know, just get the 80-20 ground beef. We got to do it 100%. I like the 100% stuff. So living by faith is the challenge, and that's the high calling. To just live by faith. And life gets so fun when you do that. It gets so fun. Just to give you that example of the refrigerator, I knew in my heart I was getting a new refrigerator. I knew it in my heart. Before I ever saw it, before I ever got the phone call, before I ever had the donation, before I ever got anything, because it was coming out of heaven. The new refrigerator came out of heaven. It didn't come out of man's pocket. It came out of God's kingdom. And I had to manifest it with my faith. I didn't bawl and squall and cry 15 minutes. I simply prayed a simple prayer of faith based on what he said, not what I said. Easy that is that takes all the sweat off. Doesn't that take all the labor out of it? That's why Jesus said, come to me, all you that labor heavy laden. I know how to give you rest. Learn of me. His word is the word, isn't he? Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. Take my way of doing things. Take my way of thinking upon you. Learn all about how I operate. Learn about how I think, and you will find rest for your souls. And when I came to Jesus, I had absolutely zero rest. No peace. The devil had my phone number. The devil had my apartment number, a house number. He knew where I lived, and he was always knocking on my door. He was always on my phone. I got to where I was scared to go to the mailbox. Wouldn't even go to the mailbox. Wouldn't even answer the phone. Didn't know who was going to call me. Who was going to show up at my door? Living in fear is terrible. Living in fear is torment. Torment. Torment.
Nothing like that. Ugh. Horrible. Live in fear.
You ain't going to make it. Fear you ain't going to live. Fear you're going to die. Fear you ain't going to be able to pay your bills. Fear of this. Fear of that. I mean, can we make a list? And the Lord delivered us out of that. Let me read on. Matthew 7. Here's the most misunderstood verse in the Bible. Matthew 7:13. Very, very misunderstood verse. Enter you in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Well, I would say, Lord, I'm certainly not going to find it. I just know I ain't going to find this way. I'm just doomed. I don't know how to enter into no straight gate because I tried very hard to be a good person, and I couldn't do it. I'm just telling you, I wasn't a good person. When Jesus found me, I wasn't good. And you ain't either. If you had to say, okay, this is what this means, I got to go through a day and never think a bad thought, never lie, never steal, never cheat, never do anything wrong, ever. Keep the Ten Commandments in front of me all the time and make sure I check off all the do's and all the don'ts. Keep my checklist clean every day. Whew, glad I got through that day. But just let something come along and you've messed up. Did one of those do nots, thou shalt nots. Disqualified from heaven now. Oh my gosh, I hope I don't die before I get this right. Trying to fix yourself, see? And God doesn't expect you to fix you. You can't walk by faith out of willpower. You can't fix you. You have to let the Holy Spirit fix you. And so what he says here, let's look at this again. And I'm going to share with in a different light. I want you to take some of the theology out of your head. Take some of your stinky thinking and your ideas out. And I want you to see this. Enter you in at the straight gate. Jesus is the door of the sheep. Jesus is the straight gate. What did John the Baptist say? Make straight the way of the Lord. Make straight. There's a straight gate. There really is. But you're going to have to get on that path by faith. This gate and doorway is one you enter in by faith. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and enter in, let me in. I will come into him and I will sup with him. I will have fellowship with him. And I will talk to him about who I am and what I'm doing in their life. They can know what I'm doing in heaven. They will have a revelation of who I am. And how I'm their great high priest that has passed in the heavens forever to make intercession for them. There's going to be a straight doorway that you'll enter into. Get into that gate. Find out who he is. He's the door of the sheep. He's the door. He's the gatekeeper. Come on into the kingdom. Come on into the way of life that God has provided. Come on up to a higher way of living. Come on up to a revelation way of life. Walk by faith and not by sight. But we walk by faith and not by sight, the word says. The things that are seen are temporary. The things that we don't see are eternal. That's the faith life. If you live by your sights, your feelings, your emotions, you're still living at the Broadway. That's the big, wide, easy way of life. Well, you're still eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, there was two trees and they're still real. That Broadway is all about you trying to figure it out. Well, I think God loves everybody. I don't think anybody's going to hell. Well, that's your wrong. Lots of people on that road, and they're going to hell. They don't know anything about living by faith. If it feels right, do it. If it looks right, okay. If it's your opinion, okay, I'll agree with you. Everybody's got a right to opinion, right? That was the biggest fight I had with my family. You don't give anybody an opportunity to have an opinion. You're the only one that knows anything. You're the only one that has an opinion. No, I go by the word. This is what the word says. His opinion is the final word. They just couldn't, that secular humanistic thinking just doesn't fit in the Word of God. That's why the world hates you. Jesus said, if they hated me first, they're going to definitely hate you. Because we don't fit into this world. We're not of this world. This straight gate and this narrow way of life has got nothing to do with you being a good person. Because if getting to heaven had to do with being a good person, Jesus certainly wouldn't have had to come and die like he did. To show you how to live by faith. No. By grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, and we've got to receive the gift. And everything you get from God, you're going to get it by faith. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. You're saved by grace through faith. Grace is not just God's unmerited favor, it is that, but it's God's ability that wants to come into your life, come into your world, and make an explosion that blows away your old stinky thinking, that blows away your old theology, blows away your wrong ideas about God, that he's a mean old God with a big old ball bat ready to get you every time you do something wrong, who's mad at you all the time. He's not like that. Let him give you the right picture. Here's that puzzle. It's in the Word, folks. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. So we got to enter into that type of living. We got to enter that gate, that way of life, of living by faith. And living by faith is not easy. In fact, Paul calls it the good fight of faith. Faith is a fight. You know why it's a fight? Because your flesh don't like it. Your flesh will always gravitate what makes it feel right, what looks right. That tree of life is right there. There's the tree of life. And here's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You will forever have to decide which tree you're going to eat your life out of. If you'll stay with Jesus, he is the tree of life. Or you can go over here and say, well, I know I've... Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Yes, he's good. But, yeah, but Lord, it just don't look like that works. Let's do it this way. This is my thinking. This is my feelings about it. Let's go over here and figure it out. You see... The problem that Adam brought to us was this. This is what he brought. Here's what Adam brought with the curse. From the moment he ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, every single thing became a sense ruled, a sense dominated way of life. Now you've got your own wit to figure it out. And we've been doing it for thousands of years. It looks right, feels right, it must be right. It must be, we reason right and wrong based on our own judgments because we don't have God anymore in the picture. He took the man and the woman and barred them from the tree of life, didn't he? They didn't have fellowship anymore with God. They didn't get any instructions from God anymore. Man had to figure it out. But when Jesus came, he became our tree of life. Now we can hear from heaven again. Now we have the Holy Spirit living in us to guide us in all truth. That's why he's called the Spirit of Truth. He said he will guide you. He said, it's expedient, Philip. It's expedient that I go away. If I don't go away, I cannot send the paraclete back. I can't send the comforter. And he will be in you. He will live in you. He told them all about him. Before he ever came on board on the day of Pentecost, Jesus already told them all about what to expect with the paraclete. He told them all about him. He said he's the Spirit of Truth. You can count on him to never say anything but he hears from me. He's going to be communicating directly out of heaven to your heart. He's going to be talking to you in a language out of heaven. He will not speak of himself. He will only speak what he hears. So you can count on this communication source to be real. It's going to be wonderful because you're going to hear straight. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He said, but I'm going to send you a comforter. I'm going to send you someone who will comfort you. And he'll give you exactly what you need to hear, when you need to hear it. He'll give you instructions what you need to do. He'll write my word in your mind, place it in your mind, and he'll write it in your heart. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. Those days came 2,000 years ago. Now the church has got to wake up and start getting some revelation word in their mind and in their heart so they can know what to believe, know what to say, and know what to do in a given situation, because the Holy Spirit will have something to work with in your life. Holy Spirit talks to you a different language than this world talks. If you're still trying to figure God out, you can never figure him out because he's not of this world. You can't figure God out by hearing theology based on physical sense rule things. It's got to be the Word. By His stripes you were healed. Let's not add anything to that. How do you know by your stripes? How do you know Jesus? Well, for one thing, He was there when He got the beating. The Holy Spirit's not going to come along and say, well, He'll heal you if you do this, this, and this. Does it say that in the Word? Then He's not going to say that to you. He's going to make it very clear to you that by His stripes you were healed. He bore your sickness. He carried your diseases. And by His stripes you were healed. He's not going to add to that. That's man's theology. That's the broad way. The straight way is believe Word. Believe the Word. That's a narrow gate. That's a straight gate. That's the way you believe. That's the way you live. You learn to not, a stranger they will not hear. You don't think the devil goes to church? Oh yeah, the devil goes to church. Yes, he goes to church. And some of the churches he is controlling. God's Word is God. You cannot change God. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The problem is not God, it's us. The problem is our believers not believing. And that's okay. That's okay. God's not mad at you over that. He's just showing you the picture. Here's the model. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's the model. God wants you to believe on Him. Praise God. Are y'all getting something?
Amen.
Straight is the gate. Wide is the gate. Enter at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth into life. And few there be that find it. There are a few that will find it, though. I just decided I'm one of them. Because I am going to live for God. He said, except you believe, you will not be established. You know, there's a scripture in the first scripture the Lord ever gave me was this. He said, for as high as the heavens are from the earth, so are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. I started going outside, and I'm going to tell you what, it's really, I think, put the Word in me more than anything is just meditating on what He said to me. I don't try to cram for a test. Cramming for a test is not usually a good thing. When you cram for a test, anybody had a cram for a test you got to have? I know you've been doing it. I mean, how much of that do you really retain? Just crammed for the day, right? But when you meditate on a revelation word from God that came right out of heaven, and you meditate on that, it's just like taking a big old bite of a steak and putting it in your mouth and chewing it real good. Get all the flavor, get all the juices. Get that yum yum. Chew that old steak up. Make it a part of you. Integrate it into your being because it's going into your spirit. As the heavens are from the earth. That's pretty high, God. That's pretty way up there. And your thinking is certainly not my thinking. Your way, your straight gate is not my straight gate. Your ideas of what's going to get me into heaven is not my ideas of what's going to get me into heaven. So I'm going to find out what God thinks and how God feels about things. He's not mad at you. He's not mad at you. He loves us. He that delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not by Him also freely give us all things? That's the kind of thinking God has. He's not thinking anything bad about you. All He's thinking, He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Jeremiah 29. I'm not thinking bad, but I'm only thinking how I'm going to give you your purpose, your plans, the things that I have for you to do in life. Aren't you just tired of falling all the time on your face and crying to God and bawling and squalling and I failed again? Well, you're going to do that. Just like riding a bicycle. How many times did you fall before you learned how to ride a bicycle? How many times did you almost drown before you learned how to swim? I almost drowned 2 or 3 times until I finally figured out how to float. See, living by faith is a challenge, but you can do it. He'd be an unjust God to say this is the demand on the believer's life and not make a way for you to do it. You can do this. But you're going to have to meditate in that word. Meditate therein day and night. Joshua 1:8. You want to make your way good and prosperous and be successful? Meditate therein day and night. Don't let the word depart from your eyes. Meditate in it. Meditate, think about it. Mull it over in your mind. Think about it till it gets inside you. It's really the chewing process of the word. But you have to stop getting so busy. Stop being so busy. If you want to grow in the things of God and you want to walk by faith in every single thing, if something keeps tripping you up, maybe you need to get over and get some word on it. Get some faith on that word. Whatever it is that you haven't mastered yet, I'm telling you, God's going to come down and add any more to what he's already done. It's available. It's available to whosoever will. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. The heart man believes unto righteousness, but the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We've studied here the different ways of prayer, the different types of prayer. If you have prayed and over the same prayer, chances are that very first prayer was in unbelief. And it's okay. Just keep praying until you finally get it. You believe it. If you got to pray, if I had to pray 10 times or 20 times for a new refrigerator before it finally hit me, I'm getting a new refrigerator. Nothing wrong with that. It didn't help God out any, but it helped me. See, I'm pressing into a higher way of life. This is the highway of God. Can I move on? I know it's getting late, but I just, this is so fun. I just am enjoying this. Y'all enjoying this? Are you getting revelation? Nobody's arrived. Nobody. Nobody has arrived. I don't care. I don't care who the preacher is, who the teacher is, how long they've been serving God. They ain't there yet. Because as high as the heavens are from the earth, his ways above our ways. That's a challenge, isn't it? To think like God. To believe like God. God's talking to us. This is his word. The word that's higher than the heavens and the earth is talking to me. When I read this Bible, I'm talking, I'm hearing the words of a being that's so high above me that I cannot possibly grasp this without the Holy Ghost's help. I cannot possibly lay hold on any of these promises if I don't have a revelation in here and in here. And it's got to start coming out of my mouth. You put life to it with your mouth. You make it real. It becomes an established fact when you say it. I'm going to jump on down to where it's highlighted here. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, here's Jesus talking. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. See, we hear the word, we read the word, but are we doing the word? Now here you think about doing again. Now get off the doing part. It's more like your believing will make you do. When you believe that by the stripes you're healed, it'll make you do something different than you've ever done before. If you really believe that. If you really believe that he bore your grief and carried your sorrow, you'll do something different than you've ever done before. You won't reach for a pill for peace. You won't reach for a bottle for peace. You will access it out of heaven through the Holy Spirit living in you. I've had him just clothe me with comfort like you wouldn't believe. So that's doing something, right? Is that not doing something? Living by faith is doing something. Okay, if you hear these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Who's the rock? Jesus. Jesus is the rock. One that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Sounds like some folks I know. They go to church, they hear the word, but they go right out and do totally the opposite of what the word says. Believe totally the opposite way and do the opposite thing. Totally, totally contrary to the word. They hear it, but they're not believing it in their heart. It's not mixed. It's just like the Israelites that didn't get to go into the promised land because of unbelief. God had to get rid of them so the new group could grow up and believe. And then he had to weed them out. Verse 25. or 26, I'm sorry, 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. St. John 14, the next verse down. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Then I want to show you another comparison to that. Contrast that to this verse. St. John 16:23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, I want to take you back for a minute to that day when Jesus broke that stark, startling, earth-shaking news to these men. I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you. And then he began, and they went into panic, and they said, oh, you can't leave us. And Jesus began to soften the blow. He began to explain to them, well, this is what's going to happen. Don't be alarmed. Your joy is going to be, you're going to have fullness of joy. Your sorrow is going to be turned to joy. And he said that the Comforter is coming. He's going to be your beacon, your light. And he's going to lead you and guide you into truth. And he'll speak to you. He'll show you things to come before they happen. He's going to be your comfort when you're sad. He will be everything you possibly, everything I could not be right now to you, he'll be to you. He'll be that close. He'll be like me living in you. And that's what he is. He's like Jesus living in you. Okay. And so he then began to tell them about prayer. He began to tell them about prayer, their new way of praying. They had never prayed like this while he was here. Remember? They said, teach us how to pray, and he didn't say in Jesus' name, did he? He said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And that's a model prayer. That's a model prayer. If you want to outline it, you can pray that way. But it's not a prayer to move mountains. That's not a mountain-moving kind of prayer. It's an establishing your heart in heaven kind of prayer. Okay, it's a good prayer. It establishes who God is in your perspective to who you are, is what that does. It aligns you up and makes you see the will of God is that his will be done in earth, your earth, as it is in heaven. Is there any sickness in heaven? Is there any disease in heaven? Is there any curse in heaven? Is there any poverty in heaven? Is there any lack in heaven? Then there shouldn't be a lack in your life. That's the prayer Jesus gave the disciples while he walked with them. But he said, I'm getting ready to leave, so I've got to give you some new instructions. I'm giving you some last-minute instructions. This was the last conversation I believe he had with the disciples before he went to the cross. Okay? And this is what he says. 14:13, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Now that word ask in the Greek of the day, that word that's used, is demand. Whatever you demand in my name. See, there's circumstances in our lives where we've got to start speaking to some things. When James and John were walking into the gate, beautiful, good example, is when they're walking into the temple and they see the lame man laying at the gate. Beautiful. They didn't get on their knees and go off and pray and fast for 2 or 3 days. Oh, God, please heal this man. Let this man be healed. And didn't lay hands on him. Didn't even touch him. But they demanded in the name that he rise and walk. Didn't he? And he said, power in that name. See, there's power. I'm giving you power, delegated power in the name. Anything you ask in my name, that's the demand. Anything you demand. You're not demanding God. You're not demanding Jesus. He's given you the authority to use the name, okay? Now, then, St. John 16:23, it says, here sounds like a contrary thing. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Well, he just said anything you ask in my name. Well, that's not what he meant. You're not asking Jesus. You're making a demand of something that's needed to be changed with the name. The name will change circumstances. There's that much authority and power in the name. Remember he said it's expedient that I go away? I'm giving you the Holy Ghost, the greatest power. And he's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He will back up the name. Well, there's a picture here I don't have time to go into. Now, listen to what Jesus says then at 16. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Because see, the day he was talking to them, they could ask him something. Well, how are we going to pay the taxes? He told them. How are we going to feed this 5,000? He told them. Give me the fish. Give me the bread. You do it. He was there, on board, everywhere they went. But here there's coming a day when you won't ask me. Here's prayer. This is a prayer, a petition right here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto, if you ask nothing in my name, ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. The days of setting before an altar and begging God is over. Just decree that in your heart. The days of setting and begging at an altar and crying in your bedroom and for hours and hours trying to get God to feel sorry for you is over. Don't do it anymore. Your sympathy is not moving God's throne in your behalf. He's already spoken his word and established his word in the heavens forever. It's now time to, in the name, know what he says about your situation. And God will honor that name because Jesus is the word made flesh that was raised from the dead and seated to Father. He completed the whole picture. What do you need to be saved from? Get in the word and find out what to ask the Father appropriately. And don't pray if it be your will, because it means you don't know the will. The word is his will. I wish we had 4 or 5 more hours. Father, I seal this word right now. I'm so hungry for you, Jesus. I'm just so hungry for you. I just impart that hunger into every heart that's present. I just impart that hunger that's in me, that you've put in me. I just share that hunger with you, Lord. Just like a starving man, just like a starving woman, haven't eaten for days, haven't had any water, been in the desert. I'm so hungry, and I'm so want more of you. I got to know what you've called me to be. I got to know what your plans are, and then I got to execute them, Lord, the way you want me to. Oh, God, I just ask you, pour out our eyes of understanding, be enlightened. We're hungry for that. Shows us what to do and what not to do. Out of heaven. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.